Hi, everybody. This is your keeper speaking. Thank you so much for tuning in yet again to A Horror Borealis and for taking some time out of your week to spend with us here in Revenant, Alaska. You'll notice that this is a pre-roll and not a mid-roll like we typically do, and that's because, once again, I am imploring you to please check the content warning for this episode. We're not kidding around here. Things pop off in a bit of an intense way if you haven't already picked up on that information, and it would mean a lot to us if you would consume safely. Now, if you're the kind of person who doesn't need content warnings, that is completely and totally fine. Feel free to listen and skip past this segment, but if you think that there's anything that might prevent you from having an enjoyable time listening to this experience instead of just an extremely upsetting one, then I would recommend you just go ahead and check those out real quick. I don't think it'll make this any less thrilling for you. I'll put it that way. On totally separate note, we are having such a blast with our Year of the Moth fundraising campaign. You all have been unbelievable in your support. We have blown past our second goal as well, and we are actually, I think, only $150 a month away from our next one. So something that we're working on right now for all of you is that very exciting set of bonus episodes for Horror Borealis. If you haven't caught any of the news about those on Twitter, one of them is really, really exciting. We just recorded the session zero for it, and that is going to be AHB 76, which is a kids on bikes adventure set in Revenant in the year 1976, sort of exploring the time between Summer Frights and the modern, well, the 1990s campaign. It's going to be a bit more family friendly, so if, you know, the main episodes are a little bit too intense for you to listen to with your kiddos, then hopefully this will be one that you can jump in on. Still exploring the same great world with a brand new cast of playable characters, and I think it's going to be a really, really fun time for everybody. We'll have more information on that soon, and we should have some official character art to drop to you all, so if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. The other is still a little bit close to the vest, so I'll release some more information on that later, but suffice it to say, I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's going to build out the world in a really cool way and give you a lot more insight on some of the NPCs that we don't necessarily get to spend a lot of time with, so I'm very excited, I hope you are too, and I cannot wait to share these with you. Now, if we do get to our $1,500 a month goal, then we have some new merch for you, which is less traditional merch and is more what will be a full-on setting guide and lore bible for Revenant, so you can play your own Monster of the Week adventures here, or adapt it for other systems, or even just pick it up and learn a little bit about the world that we don't necessarily get to explore on screen. I'm really excited to turn this into a very immersive experience for everyone, and to get to share more about this thing that we've been building for so long. So thank you for being a part of it, and for getting us to that opportunity. When we hit $1,750 per month, which is, I think, about... Thanks, Bear! Which I think is about $400 per month away at this point. Not bad. Then we will do a live Cryptid Keeper and Horror Borealis show somewhere in these great United States of ours. So stay tuned for that. If it's something you want to see happen, then start lobbying for us to come to a city near you, and maybe consider tossing a few bucks our way on Patreon to make it happen. We would really, really love to get out there and in front of an audience and keep expanding what we're able to do. So that would be what makes it possible. You can donate by going to patreon.com/thecryptidkeeper, and then you'll be supporting both of our shows and helping to pay a lot of other really cool creative independence in the process, because the more projects we unlock, the more freelancers we get to hire, and that's really exciting stuff for us. We're fully committed to fairly paying all of the artists that are involved with our projects in any way, shape, or form, and these are no exception. I think that's all I have for you today, so thanks for sticking with us. Thank you to the One Shot Network for having us, and as always, the part of Mariah Harris is played by Addison Peacock. The part of Martha Campbell is played by Tim Werner. The part of Siobhan O'Shaughnessy is played by Andrew Giotta, who also composed our excellent theme music. Our audio editing and sound design, which gets better and better by the episode, I might add, is by Ryan Volter. Thank you so much, Ryan. And I'm your keeper, Alex Flanagan. Thanks again for tuning in, and enjoy the episode. Bye!
Thank you.
Let's start with Martha in the Funplex.
Okay.
With Carson.
So Carson was just finishing up, like, saying bye.
Oh, yeah, totally. And absolutely taking their time doing so. Because let's be real, Carson doesn't really care about finishing that game with the other people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, nobody didn't even care, or
they didn't even care about our game.
No, although you were the ones that canceled it.
Yeah, well.
Not them. You can't put this on them.
No, absolutely not. It's not their fault. It's mine. I understand that.
So, yeah, I think they're taking their time, like, languidly grabbing their stuff and getting it together and, like, saying hey to everybody. And they sort of smile sweetly at you, and they're like, you know, Martha, if you want to head on out, you don't have to wait for me.
No, it's okay. I just figured it would be nice to kind of, you know, check in, I guess.
Oh my god, you're such a doll. Okay, well, I guess this is everything.
All right, you ready?
They have, like, an oversized jacket, and I think they also have a beanie pulled down, like, over their head, and probably a big scarf.
Is it, like...
They're, like, weirdly bundled up, considering that the first time you saw them, they had no regard for the weather whatsoever.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Almost like they're trying to avoid the sun.
Okay, yay, the diner.
All right. So
I think they also then put, like, a big pair of sunglasses on.
Oh. Cute sunglasses.
Thanks, I love them. You know, fun fact, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, they probably should living in Alaska, but it's, like, actually easier to get sunburned when there's snow on the ground than there is the rest of the year. Isn't that wild?
Well, yeah, because, like, you know, it reflects the sunlight, you know?
Yeah, science. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, science.
So, is this all to stop sunburn?
Yeah, I have, like, really sensitive skin.
Okay, so, like, just sunscreen won't cut it? Sorry to pry.
Yeah, that's, like, a little personal, but it's fine. No, you know, sunscreen is great, and you should totally wear it all year round, actually. Very good for your skin, but, you know, I just prefer to not even take risks like that.
Gotcha. Were you, you weren't this bundled up in the park, were you?
Well, when the sun's down, you really don't have to worry about...
Oh, that's true. It was down. I'm sorry. That's my memory. You know me. Never mind.
I really don't.
No. Yeah. You know, for a second, I thought we should change that. I'm not so sure. That was a little bit bitchy, huh?
I mean, like, maybe a little, but, you know, I can work with that.
I really don't think this is the right place for you. And I think you know that, too.
I'm not really sure what would make you say that.
I mean, to be honest, you're fake as fuck.
Whoa.
Damn! Whoa, holy shit!
Oh my god!
What the fuck?
The wild energy coming out the gate.
I think they stop and they look at you for a second and they get kind of this, like, Cat That Ate the Canary grin on their face.
No!
And they're like, you know what, Martha? You're right. But something tells me you wouldn't like the real me very much.
I'm shaking.
I mean, I guess I'll never know the real you unless you, be yourself.
Holy shit, Tim.
Are you trying to provoke them?
I think. I don't know. This wasn't my original intention, but here I am.
I think before you can go any further, like, you say that, which is frankly wild, and they open their mouth to respond, and then you hear, like, a buzzing.
Is that your
like
beeper?
Like a persistent, yeah. It's like a beeper going off.
Is that yours, Carson? You're beeping.
No, I'm not. I don't carry one.
Okay. So then I'll like look through my bag, kind of like digging all the way to the bottom.
And at the very bottom of your bag, you find the beeper that Ben gave you. The one you've had for a while, and you notice, strangely enough, that it is actually from Ben's number. The thing about beepers is that they're pre-programmed a lot of the time with messages, so you can't, like, text out an entire thing to say. Mm-hmm. But what you're getting is one of, I think, the sort of pre-generated options that says... it says, like, I'm at work, or I'm at work right now. And you keep getting this message, like, over and over and over again. It's sending, like, 12 times. Just, I'm at work right now, I'm at work right now, I'm at work right now.
Huh.
And it just keeps going off in your hand.
You know, Carson, maybe we should catch up later.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And I think I'm going to peel off and go over to the ranger station.
Cool. I think as you do that, Carson gives you like a little finger wave. Bye.
I'm stressed.
Mariah and Siobhan.
Yes.
You were on your way over to the diner, yes?
Yes.
Cool. Are you making any plans on the way there? Are you catching each other up on anything? Is there any sort of frantic, action-packed conversation or preparation that you want to take care of before we arrive?
I would say probably the thing that we're talking about is that Grayson is probably the head leader.
Go ahead and give me some of that. Snap me off some of that fresh dialogue. Or don't.
So I was talking to Tully, and Tully is not, like, in charge of the whole operation here. What did you get from Grayson? I'm guessing something.
From Carson?
Yeah. What'd you get from Carson?
Honestly, I don't think they're in charge either.
Okay, so that leaves Grayson.
Yeah.
Who is at...
The
diner.
That's
why we're going to the diner.
Yes.
Okay, so what are we doing? Are we just gonna go in and take him out, or what?
Dude, you know I didn't think that far.
Yeah, fair. I never think that far. Okay, how about we go in and, shit, I don't know. Because there's not a good way to handle it.
Well, I don't think we'll know until we're there.
Okay, so let's go in and maybe improvise.
I don't know what else we can do, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so as you approach the diner has fairly large windows, like most diners do. You know, big plate glass windows lining the walls. And from outside, you can sort of see in, even as things are going on. And I think that you notice a few things about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And... I just want to say right now, this is something that, like, if you start to get uncomfortable or whatever, like, we can absolutely, like, stop, rewind, do whatever. We can repaint this scene. There are a number of different ways we can do it.
Okay.
But not to freak you out or anything. But as you approach the diner, you can see from the outside a few things. You can see that the only people in the diner are Billy and Gray.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that Gray is seated up at the counter, leaning forward with a cup of coffee in between his hands, and that Billy is talking to him, and that the two of them appear to be, I would say, from a distance, enjoying each other's company. Billy seems to be very... how can I say this? Billy seems to be very charmed by... the young man sitting at the counter, not in a way that indicates any sort of supernatural influence, just in the way that two people who have been having a conversation for a long time might start to, you know, connect.
Right.
And I think that the thing, I don't know, first of all, how would you react to this? How would you react to, like, coming up on this approach and seeing, like, one, there are only two people in here, two, like, it's something of an intimate conversation, like nothing is currently happening, but you have this knowledge that something is probably about to break bad.
Hmm. I think Siobhan would probably walk in and just sit down, like, almost right next to Gray, I think.
Okay. We're not going that far yet.
Oh, okay.
I think then. This is, like, as you're approaching the diner, because, again, big windows, you can see this sort of, like, from a bit away. So if you want to just, like, go on in, that's totally fine, but I don't think it's necessarily something where you can, like, walk in without... I mean, first of all, the bell over the door would interrupt whatever this is, right?
Sure. I guess that makes sense. Okay. What should we do? Mariah?
I don't know.
I mean, Billy doesn't seem to be in immediate danger. But I don't want to wait until he is.
No, I don't either.
Alex, does Billy know that there are, like, supernatural things going on?
The only thing that has happened in full view of the town was the Tulpa situation. So I think there is the knowledge that, like, weird things happen here sometimes, but he certainly has not been kept informed of them on the same level that a lot of other people have.
Got it.
Or not a lot of other people, that some other people have.
Sure.
You've sort of established this inner circle of revenant dwellers who have more info than most of the other people, and he has not thus far been a part of it.
Okay, I think maybe we should get on a payphone and call the diner and have, like, talk to Billy on the phone about
it. Oh, that's smart. No, I like that.
That way we don't give the appearance, like, to Grayson that something is up, but Billy will be aware.
Now, there is a possibility here, though, that we have to consider.
Okay.
And that's that they can influence people, and we don't know if Billy's really himself right now.
Okay, so we should ask Billy a question only Billy knows.
That's not how that works.
Oh, how does it work?
I mean, I don't know, I'm kind of just guessing, but it's not like he's a clone or like a pod person.
Okay, but if he's being influenced, does he have any control over himself?
Okay, see, now I don't know. I'm just repeating the stuff that I learned.
How far away from the diner are you right now?
I think we're... Go ahead.
I was going to say we're pretty close if we could see in the windows.
Yeah, I was going to say we're probably in the parking lot, like sitting in the car.
I think that's fair. I think something happens.
Okay.
No, what? Sorry.
I think that... you're having this conversation and you notice, maybe you're close enough to see this, maybe you don't, but either way, I think the audience gets this impression. Grayson is seated at the counter, of course, and having this conversation with Billy, nodding along, maybe, you know, circling the rim of his coffee mug with his finger, glances out of the corner of his eye and sees the two of you in the parking lot.
No.
There's a brief moment where this look of maybe not, certainly not panic, certainly not alarm, but I think this reaction of time to make a discernible move while the opportunity is still present, presents itself. And he stands up from his seat. He leans over and he kisses Billy directly on the mouth.
No!
That's Adam.
What's Adam going to say?
Let's cut to Martha.
Okay, so have I made it up to the ranger station?
How panicked are you? And how quickly are you trying to make this happen? What's going through your head as you've received this?
Well, I have no clue what's going on, but, like, it seems kind of urgent, so I'm not booking it, but I am probably doing, like, a jog or I've grabbed my bike on the way.
Totally. Yeah, we can say that you've made it up to the ranger station. Just that seems the most expedient choice at this point. I don't really want to slow things down. I kind of like the way things are popping off. So I think that you make it up to the ranger station and you recognize, I think the first question in your mind would probably be like, is this some sort of mistake? You know, am I doing the right thing? Am I like chasing the right impulse? And Ben's car is in the parking lot of the ranger station. There's a light on inside the station, so you can assume that he is here.
Okay. I guess, does it seem like anything bad is happening?
There's no way for you to know that from the outside.
But it all looks normal from where I'm standing.
From the outside, yes.
Okay. I think I'm going to go...
I regret to keep clarifying it in that
way.
But that's the reality. You do have psychic powers.
That's true. I don't know, because I don't know if I want this to be a stealthy thing, or because like we know where all of the vampires are, right? Except for Tully.
Except for Tully.
Yeah. So I think I'm just going to try to open the door.
Okay. You do open the door. It's not locked. But I think... Shoot. I know what's going on. I'm trying to decide how I want to paint the picture.
Okay.
So there's a front lobby to the ranger station, right? We've sort of established this before.
Yeah.
It's like the entry area where you would come in. There's a coffee machine over by the wall. There's like the front desk, and then there's this little seating area. I think you come in, and the scene that you are immediately struck with is a particularly strange one. You see Ben, and you see Tully. Ben is sort of backed up against the wall, maybe clutching his shoulder, his left shoulder, and you see blood between his fingertips.
Yay.
Tully has his back to you, but is facing Ben, who looks extremely freaked out. And Tully is saying, Tully is just talking in like a somewhat, maybe not panicked, but he's definitely like worked up about something. And, you walk in and I think Ben sees you over Tully's shoulder and like his eyes are wide. He's like visibly freaked out, but he doesn't draw attention to the fact that you're there. Do you do anything immediately or do you try to like take in the situation a little bit more?
Well, I'm trying to decide if Martha would either, like knowing what she knows, would she... Does she know that Tully isn't necessarily, like, bad, I guess?
I don't think you know really anything about Tully.
Okay. Then I'm gonna use some magic and try to push him out of the way.
Sweet. Do it. Roll use magic.
That's the dice roll song. And that is a 10.
Dunk. Okay, so what exactly are you trying to do? Like, throw him across the room?
Pretty much,
or
yeah.
Or just, like, push him out of the way?
I'm...
Okay.
Like, full force. Just, like, shove him out of the way. Maybe he, like, runs into a desk or something.
Okay, sweet. Totally. Yeah, you throw open the door. You see this scene in front of you. Tully is facing Ben with his hands up in the air, and he's saying, like, it's not a big deal. No, don't worry about it. It's gonna be fine. And then Tully gets thrown out of the way against sort of the couch that's off to the side. He's now sprawled across it. And he snaps his head to the side and sees you.
The fuck did you do?
It was Siobhan's idea.
No. Turning other people into vampires is not Siobhan's idea.
No, listen. You have to listen to me.
Ben, are you okay?
I have no idea what is happening.
Tully.
God, Martha.
Tully. Calm down. What the fuck did you do?
I don't want to hang out with Gray and Carson anymore. I want to be my own man, and I want to have free reign of the parks, and Siobhan said that I should hang out with the other park rangers. And I can't do that with normal people, okay? So I just needed someone else to hang out with. I'm gonna cry.
I think at that, Martha's eyes kind of like glaze over and they get really cloudy. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to use magic again and kind of force him up against the wall and kind of lift him up a little bit.
Hell yeah, roll for it.
That was not good. That was only a 6, but I'm going to use a luck.
Okay, it's a 12. You have him exactly where you want him.
Okay, so he gets slammed against the wall and, like, dragged up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she says anything. She just, like, has this blank stare with, like, cloudy eyes. Can I... Now, this is going to sound really strange, but can I, like... I want to kind of read his thoughts. So...
You can do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Do I need to roll for that at all? Would it be
Yeah, that would be a separate roll. I know. I hate to keep making you like roll over and over again. But I think
roll,
that would just
roll.
I think that would just be a use magic roll. So we've established that like this telepathy is something you can do. A 12?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay.
So I can use that to investigate a mystery or read a bad situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Martha kind of like tilts her head to the side as like mm-hmm. a dog would if they're trying to like listen better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm going to ask, I don't know, because I feel like I know the answer to these questions already.
That's okay. You can ask, so with the 12, just ask me 3 questions. I don't care if they're on the list or not.
So I'm trying to get a read if this is like, if Tully was trying to hurt Ben in any way.
Tully was not trying to hurt him specifically, but... He was, in fact, trying... You guessed correctly. He was trying to turn him.
Why does it make my heart hurt so bad that he just wants a friend?
Like, I understand he wants a friend, but also this is fucked up.
Oh, no, it is, but I just feel
no,
bad
No, it's, like,
for
super
him.
Fucked up.
Yeah. So there's, like, no negative energy coming off of Tully?
I mean, again, the... Specifically, if the question you're asking is, like, was there intent to harm? Like, that's complicated because, like, the process of turning him does involve biting him, but the intent was not to hurt him. The intent was, you know, maybe this is, like, not a questions thing. Maybe this is just a, like, you're probing his thoughts. Here's what's going down.
Okay.
Yeah, so Tully's intention was
to make a friend.
Yeah. He is tired of... working with the people that he's working with. He doesn't want to keep quote-unquote hanging out with them, but can't, you know, have just a normal coexistence with normal people, not outside in the sun and not during the day. So he thought it would be easier if he just got a new vampire friend to run with, because hanging out with vampires is something that he can do. When Siobhan mentioned, you know, the other park rangers being cool, he remembered, like, that morning he had met Ben and hung out with him in the park, and that, like, Ben's cool, Ben likes hiking, that would be a good friend for me, and
Tully,
that's where his brain
just,
went.
Tully, you can hang out with regular people, just do it at night! I'm so upset.
I think knowing that, Tully can, like, feel his chest getting heavier, almost like a boa constrictor is just, like, getting tighter and tighter. And then Martha's gonna, like, her eyes, like, flip back to normal, and then he falls to the ground. But not dead.
Okay.
I'm not trying to hurt him. That was just,
No. Totally. I understand exactly what's going on. Yeah, he collapses to the ground, and his chest is kind of heaving a little bit. He's breathing a little bit more heavily, I think, trying to catch his breath before he can say anything. He's completely winded.
Trying to think of what to say.
I think Ben, like, sort of stumbles forward a little bit, and pulls his hand away, and you can see that he has, in fact, already been bitten. There's blood oozing from his shoulder, and it's sort of staining the shoulder of his park uniform.
How do you reverse this, Tully? Tully, I'm going to need you to hurry the fuck up.
I don't know. I don't know if you can.
Then why the... Ben, are you okay?
Right as rain. I don't know. I don't know how any of this works. Am I a vampire now?
We'll figure that out. It would be helpful if this little shithead would do anything.
He's still, like, gasping for air on the ground.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know this is terrible, but I've turned around on Tully. Please be good to my boy.
I'm not trying to, like, kill him or hurt him. Well, I mean, hurt him.
Oh, I don't care. I'm here for Dark Martha.
But,
I am too. Dartha.
Like, so Martha's whole thought process is, like, she knows that he wasn't trying to hurt Ben, but also this is fucked up, and...
Yeah, it's not cool to transform people into vampires against their will.
Tully, what makes you think that you can't be friends with normal people? Sorry, I shouldn't say that. With people.
I mean, that's really it, isn't it? I'm not a normal person.
No, you're not. Neither am I.
I didn't... You know, I didn't think it would be such a bad thing. It's...
Did Ben tell you it was okay? Did he want this?
No.
We're gonna learn about consent today, huh?
Ben, did you want this?
What the fuck kind of a question is that?
I'm just... Literally, okay. This is a lot, Ben. Tully. What the fuck, man? Look. We know all about your little group, their plans, and if you want to help, you can figure out how to unfuck this whole situation.
I don't.
Otherwise, you're going to be completely fucking alone.
I don't know what to do about those two. All right, they're wicked powerful, and they're.
Did you not just see what I did?
I get it, but like...
You're not the only powerful people in this town. Look, we can handle it. You figure out what the fuck to do. And we'll figure out a way to deal with Carson and Gray.
I don't know how it works, okay? I don't know if the transformation can be stopped. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it happens after the first bite, or sometimes it takes more than that. There's no way to know, but I don't... If it's already happening, I can't change it, okay? It's not up to me.
This is kind of fucked up just to be talking about this in front of our boy Ben, huh?
Yeah. I think he's digging through the drawer for, like, a bandage or something. You know, since nobody's addressing that part of the situation.
I think while all of this is happening, like, Martha is trying to, like, also help out with the whole wound.
Okay. Yeah, no, I like that.
So, I guess Ben, like, hands a bandage to Martha, and then she's gonna, like, put it on his neck, or his shoulder.
It's his shoulder,
Yeah. We're gonna figure this out, whatever it is. I don't know what to say. But are you okay?
I mean, this isn't really how I pictured my day going.
No, but no.
I'm sorry. I didn't know who else to call.
No, it's, It's fine. I'm glad you called me. She does like an awkward glance into his eyes and then looks back at the bandage.
Let's cut back to the diner. Mariah and Siobhan, what are you doing?
Freaking out.
I think Siobhan is also freaking out. Yeah.
Yeah, totally fair.
I don't want to be out of character.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want Siobhan to just smash through the window.
Here's the thing. I was actually thinking about that because, Alex, I have a question. The sun is still out, right? Yeah.
The sun is still out.
And if we smash through the window, will that make sunlight flood into the diner?
Yeah, totally.
And Gray is not really protected from the sun right now, is he?
No, certainly not. The only thing that has been up until this point working in his favor is that his back has been to the sunlight.
Good to know. Okay. Because I want to finally see what the hell happens when they get sun on them.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's what's going
to
happen.
It's also Siobhan certainly not out of character for Siobhan to break through a window.
Oh, definitely not.
Sorry, what's she going to do?
Okay, she is going to take her shield and just jump.
Oh, hell yes! Nice.
Yeah, she's going to go shield first through the window.
Oh, that's dope as hell. I'm not going to make you roll for that. That kicks ass.
Okay.
Holy shit.
All right, you break through the window. Glass pours over the floor, just like shatters inward everywhere, and sunlight comes streaming through. I think Gray turns around to look at you, and as he faces the sun, something really strange happens.
What happens?
Sorry. Grayson, as you've seen him before, is a completely ordinary looking, I would say fairly handsome young man in a Canadian tuxedo.
He's a vampire.
We've been over all of that.
He has to be sexy. That's a vampire thing.
He's extremely sexy and wearing a lot of denim because he's a 90s Alaskan vampire.
Canadian.
He's French-Canadian. But as the sunlight hits him, this transformation takes place before your eyes. His eyes turn completely black. They just flood with this terrible black color that is like squinting against the sun. His skin, which was already pale, turns almost translucent. You can see all of the veins underneath it. And they're all this terrible grayish-black color. His teeth are pulled back in a grimace, and you absolutely see these fangs. You can see at the beds of his nails where it's bright red, and suddenly you notice something you didn't notice before, which is on his neck, this terrible bite wound. He looks like a monster.
Siobhan's gonna smack him with the shield.
Damn, all right, roll to kick some ass.
Holy crap. Yeah, roll to kick some ass. Mariah's over here figuring out what the hell to do to contribute, because,
That is a, let's see, 6 plus 3.
I would love it so much if Mariah just, like, went through the door.
Oh my god, that would
she
be
does.
Amazing.
Oh my god. Incredible.
You're just like a ding-a-ling.
So, what's going on?
Sorry, tell me what the result of your roll is.
I got a 9.
Okay, so nice. That's a mixed success. So you just wanted to, like, hit him with the shield?
Yeah, I want to smack the shit out of him.
Okay, you catch him with your shield, I think probably, like, directly across the chest and into the solar plexus. He is absolutely, like, caught off guard by this blow, but manages to grab it and then wrench your arm around so it's behind your back.
Okay.
He's breathing very heavily. You take 1 harm, but I think you have armor, so...
I do have armor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Does Mariah want to do anything?
She wants to... Okay, you know what? I reach into my boot and grab my butterfly knife. That's something. Mm-hmm. It's not much, but it's something.
Okay.
I really hope I don't have to behead anyone with this butterfly knife, because that would take a long time.
Oh, God, that would be awful.
Yeah. Don't you also have your...
I refuse to let that play out on screen.
You
Thank
also
you.
Have your quill pen, right?
Do I have my pen with me?
That's up to you.
Remind me what your pen does.
Only if Alex will remind me what my pen does.
Gosh darn it. I was hoping that you had written down the details of your cool weapon that I gave you, your cool custom weapon.
It's somewhere in my computer.
I thought it was something like where you could throw it and then call it back or something like that.
Oh, it's a sword.
Right.
It's a dagger, I believe.
It's a dagger.
I'll have to find the detail, and I'm on a different computer, so I don't know.
See, that's the problem. I'm so sorry. I've made a note somewhere, but I don't know where it is in my computer. Oh, I'm a bad player. I'm so sorry. Okay.
I believe it's a kick-ass dagger.
It is. It's a very cool dagger. I do have my pen. My pen is also in my boot. So what we've now just witnessed is this all played out in real time with Mariah, but only inside her head. So she just pulled out her knife, stopped, remembered she has something cooler now, put the knife back in her boot, went in her other boot, pulled out her pen.
I believe the magical charm on the thing is that nobody else except you can use it. Like, it won't turn into a dagger for anybody else.
It's only me. The pen and the sword. I'm crying again. Okay.
Right, because it was this whole thing about a weapon that nobody can use against you. Like, yes, it was very cool and emotional. Excellent.
No weapon against me shall prosper.
Anyway. Does she shout that as she pulls?
No. What does this transformation sequence look like? Pull out my quill pen and it, like...
Do you do, like, a cool magical girl thing?
I think I probably, like, twirl it around in my fingers like I would do with the butterfly knife.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it, like, glows and
there's
makes...
a flash of light and it flips out into a dagger.
Yeah. Kind of a cool magical girl thing, but, like, a little edgier.
Oh, yeah, 100p. What do you do?
I have my dagger. I would probably wheel around to see what happened with Siobhan.
Yeah, so currently the situation is that Gray, who is visibly winded and sort of like reeling a little bit, has Siobhan's arm twisted behind her back. This has all happened like in split seconds. So Siobhan, if you want to react with another kick some ass roll or something else, you can.
I was going to, but yeah. I didn't want to just... take the whole thing.
I think it would take another minute before Mariah would have time to get into the action. So yeah, if there's something you want to do, by all means.
Yeah, then I'm going to pull out my big knife and try and jam it in his eye.
Holy Damn. Shit. Okay, roll to kick some ass.
That one rolled a little bit too far. All right, that is a 9 plus 3. That's a 12.
Shit.
Damn, you're going to make me do eye horror on this show now?
What does Billy think of all of this happening right over his
counter?
That's
a really great question that nobody has asked.
I don't ask questions.
Maybe it's time to check in on Billy. Hey, Billy, how are you doing right now?
So if
you're probably wondering how I got in this situation. Yes, I'm sorry, Siobhan. Please continue.
So if the eye horror is too much, then it can be something else.
It's not too much. No,
I'm not going to say it's too much. That's fine if that's what you want to do.
I think you should do it.
It's all I can do.
That's fine. So you, damn, what arm do you wear your shield on?
My shield is on my left.
Okay, so it is. I was gonna be like, do you take your offhand and like execute this dope ass move? That's unbelievable.
No.
So your non-dominant arm is twisted behind your back. You immediately reach up and grab your big knife and jam it into the face of the vampire behind you. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Uh huh. Does that make him let go?
You can choose the additional benefit for your 10 plus roll, right? So you can either do more damage, you can not take damage yourself, you can get him where you want him. Or there's like one other thing and I don't remember what it is. Those are the three that I remember.
Okay. So what is it again? Sorry.
You can either do more damage than the knife would itself do. Uh-huh. You can, make it so that you yourself do not take damage because otherwise the default is on a kick some ass roll, you will also take harm. Uh-huh. Or you can use the opportunity to like get him where you want him, which in this case would be like getting him off of you. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll do that. I'll push him off.
You can also give Mariah a plus one.
Okay.
No, I'll push him off at me.
Okay, cool. So, you jam your knife into his eye, I guess. We need to figure out, like, what it looks like when you injure a vampire, which is another wild thing.
Probably not very bloody.
It's not.
I would assume not.
No.
Does it just kind of stick in there?
I would...
God.
I would imagine so.
This is where we all remember that this is a horror game.
Do you hold on to your knife or not?
Yeah, I think it's a jab, and then I don't think she lets go, and I feel like he probably like pushes her away.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
Well, that's which might be the damage part.
Does the knife have a serrated edge?
Yeah, it's a big knife.
Okay, so. you reach back with your knife, jam it into his eye, and hold onto it as he hisses and pushes you away. I think... Let's figure out what does it look like when you hurt a vampire. I want some group input on this. I don't think it's very bloody.
No.
We could have some sort of, like, alternative substance, like some sort of creepy, like, black ichor or something.
Sure. I'm That's done with that.
True.
That feels right, because I did specify that, like, the veins and things were all kind of, like, this sickly
gray
color.
Yeah, cool. Sticky black ichor. It's like tar.
Yeah, this horrible tar-like substance, which, like, gushes out and gets all over your knife and onto your hand, I think.
I'm, like, rubbing my hands together like a fly about to eat. I'm so hyped.
Does Gray flinch at all? Or is it just the force that pushes his head backwards?
Oh, well, I think it pushes his head backwards. I think that he, again, recoils and kind of hisses and, like, shoves Siobhan away. Yes.
Hey, can I read a bad situation? Where's Billy?
You can, but first let me finish doing this, because Siobhan also has to take harm from the nature of the kicks and ass roll.
Okay.
I think probably, how do we want to do this? As he's pushing you away, his nails, which are somewhat claw-like, we'll say, catch you. Probably on your shoulder, like on your shield shoulder. That would be two harm.
Okay. So with my armor, that is one harm.
That's one harm. Yeah, so you're one harm down, and you've got a gash on your shoulder.
Okay.
It's probably not particularly deep. Okay. That would partially be the nature of your armor, reducing this to a minor injury.
Sure. Okay.
Cool. Okay, so now you want to read a bad situation?
Yes, I do.
Okay, roll for that.
Okay, so that's which stat is that a roll for again?
That's sharp.
It's sharp?
Yeah.
Okay, thank God. Okay, that's a 10.
Okay, so you get 3 questions.
Okay. Okay, what's the best way to protect the victims?
I would recommend getting him away from the fight.
Billy, yes. Okay, so where's Billy right now?
Still behind the counter.
Okay, so I run over to Billy, and I kind of not slap. I'm going to kind of gently pat his cheeks with my hands to see how he's see how aware he is.
I think he's visibly dazed. And then also, of course, like following this situation that has just happened, the glass window erupted inward towards this diner, and then Siobhan like attacked this patron.
Yes.
But I think he, shakes himself a little bit and looks at you and, his eyes are slightly glazed over, and you notice that his lip is bleeding.
So what I'm about to do is treat Billy like I have treated many a friend before that had done a few too many drugs. Which is, I take Billy's hands and I go, hey buddy, we're gonna go back here, okay? Uh-huh. And I lead him back into the kitchen.
Okay, totally. Yeah, I think he goes with you.
I'm probably get Billy set up with some water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to keep my dagger in one hand ready to go. And I'm also going to keep an eye on Billy because I don't know what might happen if he's under any influences right now. But like for the
Good
most
call.
Part right now, I'm going to get him some water and be like, and have him sit down and be like, you're okay. We're all going to, everything's going to be cool.
Good. I think you get another question for your read about situation.
Do
you want to hold it or do you want to? Okay.
I'm going to hold it. I'm going to hold it. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm a liar.
Okay. Then do you take your last hold?
What's my best way out?
We'll say there's probably an emergency exit from the kitchen.
Cool.
So I think you bring Billy back here and you like, set him down with some water and you're like kind of frantic and you have your dagger in one hand and you glance up and we'll see the emergency exit sign, over his shoulder.